You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Should the Texans sign Adrian Peterson? Well, we're going to talk about that in today's show. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We are part of the FanRag Sports Network, if you're just joining us for the first time. And if you are, welcome aboard. So running back and future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson, still unsigned. He says the Texans are a dream destination. And Lamar Miller says he'd love to bring Peterson to Houston. Miller told Patrick Claibon on Thursday's edition of NFL Up to the Minute, a show on the NFL Network, quote, "I used to look up to Adrian Peterson growing up. He's a great running back. He's been a great running back in this league for years. It would be good to have him join us, just his leadership, seeing the things he's done in previous years. I feel like I could learn from him. It would help us out as a team," unquote. And Brian, people may forget that Adrian Peterson started off with New Orleans and was dealt to the Arizona Cardinals last year. Give us some numbers on Peterson from last year.
Last season, pretty much, with the Arizona Cardinals. So he rushed for 448 yards. That was his most productive stint with the Cardinals. So he started with the Saints first and then on to the Cardinals. As you mentioned, 129 carries. He averaged 3.5 yards per carry. He had 2 touchdowns. So pretty much his most productiveness was with the Cardinals because, of course, back in the season, you remember, he was kind of disgruntled with his role with the Saints. But come on, when you have Alvin Kamara out there, you got to use him. You know, they invested a lot in him. But it's good that Peterson did end up with a team that used him quite a bit. But, he's getting up there in age. And but who's to say that he could still produce? So those are his numbers there. And he only garnered, 81 yards with the Saints. Not that much. And he averaged about 3 yards a carry. So the past couple seasons, he's been well under 3. His most productive before he got hurt, when in 2015, he was averaging 4.5 yards a carry off of 1,485 yards. And you remember the 2012 season, his best of his career, 2,097 yards, just 8 yards shy of Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record of 2,105 yards, was right there. He was averaging 6 yards per attempt there, and 131.1 yards per game. That is astronomical. But in my opinion, if you're trying to get Adrian Peterson, I just don't see how he would fit here. How would we have room for him? I would love to have him here, but how often would you be able to use him when you've got Alfred Blue signed? Unless they want to put Alfred Blue in the hot seat, but you've already signed him to a deal, which I'm pretty sure, it's a 1-year deal. Most of that's going to be guaranteed. You want to get what you can out of him, but it's interesting because Rob, I just want to go into this too. I mean, it's interesting that Lamar asked, for him to come into Houston because, we always have felt that not necessarily his position is a lock, but apparently he thinks it is. So it's something to kind of keep your eye on.
All right. Well, before we get into this idea that Alfred Blue would be getting guaranteed money, I don't think that's the case. I'd have to look that up, but I doubt it. So I'm going to try to walk everybody through this situation, what's going on. We got to keep in mind Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman had a total of zero 100-yard games last year. Nobody on the Texans had a 100-yard game. Peterson actually had 2 games where he broke 130 yards. That was a bad offensive line in Arizona, very similar to the Texans. Not much of a threat at quarterback either. Imagine, Brian, what he could do with the threat of Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't know. I mean, let me look at it this way. Would you rather have Adrian Peterson running the ball or Alfred Blue? I mean, what do you think?
Adrian Peterson in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and here's something else to keep in mind. And just Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim said, and I'm going to quote him, There's no doubt that Adrian still has some juice left in the tank, particularly from a run skill standpoint. He still runs with a lot of anger and aggressiveness, has the type of contact balance you look for in that position. But in today's day and age, we all know that you have to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. You have to be able to do a lot of different things. So versatility is really a key. And I heard that before. The magic words for the Texans, versatility, Brian. But do you consider Alfred Blue versatile? What do you think of him as a pass blocker and a pass catcher? I'm talking about Alfred Blue.
He's decent in those areas, not wild, drop your jaws type, but then plus he can do work on special teams. That's what makes him valuable. And that's why, they have signed him to a 1-year deal. But when you look at Peterson and just his innate ability to run the football, and, he's had some time to sit down and heal from the season, I think he could provide a lot for the Houston Texans. And first of all, he would just be fun to watch. And there's a lot of fans out there, including me. I mean, he is definitely up from Palestine, Texas, which is, up to the north and east Texas. So he's more close to Dallas, but he claims Houston as his home. He comes here all the time. And if you're lucky, you may be able to spot him, at your favorite restaurant. I know I did when I was at Twin Peaks on Kirby a couple of years back. And so that was pretty cool. He was just out there hanging out and visiting. But he is definitely something that is, it would be interesting to have on this team, to have that weapon, to have that threat on the ground along with Deshaun Watson. We wouldn't have to worry about run blocking for him because he can create his own holes. Just his ability to juke his defenders, he would just be amazing to watch. I'm pretty sure they would put his jersey up for sale. It would do very well. Adrian Peterson jerseys. I would love to get one if I had that opportunity, just to say that Adrian Peterson played for the Texans at least for one season or two.
Yeah, and he had a couple of off the field issues. Obviously, that's something we always got to think about with the Texans. And the thing with his kid, he's apologized for. I don't think this goes down as a major deal that the Texans would go, no thanks, we don't want to get in on something like that. This isn't the stuff that we've seen from other players around the NFL: domestic abuse, drunk driving, drug issues, that sort of thing. I mean, Peterson, outside of that, it's mostly kept a clean record. There was some minor run-in in Houston a couple of years ago. I think, Brian, you might remember that, but that whole thing was dropped, if I remember correctly. Some deal with the police at a club or something. It's just one of these weird deals, but I don't know. I'll take him. I would take him over Alfred Blue in a heartbeat at this point. No question about it. An older Adrian Peterson and Alfred Blue, he was a free agent. There was people out there that could have gotten him, and there wasn't much of a market, I think, for Alfred Blue. So if you want to keep Alfred Blue, in your sights in case Adrian Peterson gets hurt. Something like that, he might still be available. I don't think Alfred Blue's just one of these guys that every NFL team's going to jump on. We got to get Alfred Blue. He's cut,
He may sit around for a bit, but when injuries start to mount, no matter who or whatever team out there, he's going to get snatched up pretty quickly. I don't see him sitting for too long. This is after the season has started, of course. But I honestly do see him, if we drop him, he's going to get picked up.
And Tyler Irvin, to me, still has to prove why he's on this team. He hasn't done a whole lot. A special teams ability doesn't matter a whole lot because, they got Kiki Cutie. They've got some other guys that can pick up the slack there. So, that's still up in the air. But anyway, just something to think about. Adrian Peterson, obviously, I don't think the Texans are interested, but I would be if I were the Texans. Next up, we're going to tell you about where the Texans rank between 1 and 32 among ESPN's Fancy Football Power Index. Let me remind you that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, Podchaser, TuneIn. I can go on Spotify. Spotify is always a great way to listen. And if you'd like to check out more Locked On podcasts from our national network, LockedOnSports.com is the place to go. Our new Locked On Network website. We have podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team. Obviously, Locked On Rockets with our friend Ben DuBose. We've started to add MLB podcasts. We have the Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL podcast shows. So it's all on LockedOnSports.com. Quick and easy place to go. That's LockedOnSports.com. ESPN put out their latest Football Power Index, which ranks all 32 NFL teams from best to worst. Going into next season, the Texans are ranked 19th, according to their FPI. The initials stand for Football Power Index. Like I said, if you don't know how they calculate this, the easy explanation is their model considers each team's win total at the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. So odds, I guess, which the Texans' odds are actually pretty good, at least in the AFC. How that team performed on offense, defense, and special teams last season. How many starters are returning, and who the starting and backup quarterbacks are. So that's goes into the calculation. Brian, you want to hear who's ahead of the Texans? Or actually, let me have you guess the few teams that you think may be on the list ahead of the Texans, according to ESPN.
Actually, I have 8 teams that are ahead of the Texans, and here they are. Let's go with the Atlanta Falcons, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, hold on. Atlanta Falcons, I'm going to mark these off as you're saying them. So we got the Falcons. You got the – which one else did you – what other one did you say?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, the Jaguars, you are correct. The Falcons were number 8. The Jags are number 14, according to them. Kind of low on the list, I thought. Keep going.
Los Angeles Rams.
They are number 4 on this list.
Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings are number 5. That's about where I put both of those two teams, so that's fine.
New England Patriots.
Patriots, of course, are number 1.
New Orleans Saints.
Saints are number 6.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles are number 2.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And the Steelers are number 3. So you did a good job. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. 7th was the Packers. They consider the Packers better than the Texans. Like you said, the Falcons are number 8. The Panthers are number 9. Are you kind of questioning the Panthers at all, Brian?
I would at this moment. They had a lot of guys leave for free agency. But as long as you have Cam Newton around, anything's possible. But I think we're better than the Panthers, to be honest with you, just with all the tools that we have. But they've been established. They've been to the Super Bowl. You know, maybe they got points for that as far as their formula that they use to calculate as far as this index. So that's that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I was on the fence with the Panthers, and I decided, no, I think we'll be better. And you talked about the Packers, too. I was this close, just a minuscule, just a little amount close to putting the Packers on my list. But I was like, yeah, I think we could be better. I think we could be better than them this season.
Right. And as far as the Panthers go, I mean, yeah, they lost Andrew Norwell. I think the Texans have more guys in impact positions than the Panthers do. But obviously, they're a little bit more established, winning year in and year out with Cam. Next up, they have the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. Boy, that's they're just going to assume that they're just going to keep rolling after Garoppolo finished the season strong. Obviously, they look good against the Texans, but that was the Texans with Tom Savage, Brian.
Yeah, who are they? I mean, this is going to take time to build. I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to part the Red Sea and all of a sudden they're contending for the Super Bowl. It's going to take time. They're going to be a lot better this season. And, you know, they might even be quite decent, you know, maybe even closer to 8-8 or 9-7. But no, I wouldn't put them over the Texans. We just have too much talent stacked. But over time, the 49ers are going to be good for a long time.
Next up, they've got the Chargers with Phillip Rivers, but they just lost their star tight end. Star young tight end. I don't know if the Chargers are like some gimme. I don't know about that one.
They probably did this one way before the injury to Hunter Henry. So I would honestly put the Chargers down even lower. You might even have to bring back Antonio Gates back. I don't know if that has come together yet. I doubt it. But I still think even with Antonio Gates on there, you know, forget about Hunter Henry. Yeah, we're still a better team than the Chargers. The Chargers actually have overachieved, to be honest with you, because, you know, on paper, they're not really that good of a team. But, you know, that also goes to coaching with Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, this was published May the 29th. I think that was after the Hunter Henry injury. But even with Hunter Henry, that's not a major, major deal. Next up, the team to the north, the Dallas Cowboys.
No way. And then with Dak, you know, out there, you know, with the season he had previous, I think he's going to struggle this season as well. You know, you don't have Dez Bryant, although he did not make as much of a difference as far as being a target out there. There's a lot of question marks with the Cowboys. And, you know, the first pick they had in the draft in the first round, they went out and got themselves a linebacker, you know, with Vander Esch. And I think that he's going to be very, very talented as the time goes on. But there were a lot of things I feel that they didn't address.
Yeah, Prescott still doesn't have a whole lot of targets. I mean, you talk about stuff that they didn't address. And next up, Kansas City Chiefs. So they switch quarterbacks to Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how a second-year quarterback that's taken a snap or two and, you know, maybe started a game last year, you're counting on that team more than a team led by Deshaun Watson, even coming off an injury. I mean, I guess I know we got Andy Reid's record as a coach, but and they got some weapons for sure on offense, but I don't know if they're ahead of the Texans. I don't know about that.
See, here's the deal. I had 10 teams that I had written down, but the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers were the two I crossed out. When I thought about it twice, thrice, four times, I was like, no way. I think we're still going to be better than the Chiefs. There's too much uncertainty with Mahomes. You know, he hasn't even taken his first snap as a starter, as you've said. There's a lot of uncertainty there. But he's got a lot of talent around him, so it may not even matter. But I'm putting the Texans ahead of the Chiefs, definitely.
The next four on the list, the Jags, obviously, I said earlier, was number 14, which they should be higher. But the next four, the Ravens, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Raiders. The Lions and the Raiders? Really?
No way. I mean, you've got a new coach. You've got a new system. Those guys have to learn it. Matt Stafford is he is an incredible quarterback in terms of all of his abilities that he has.
Well, he puts up numbers, but he hadn't done much as far as taking team to, I mean, he's gone to a couple playoffs, but not a lot of wins in the playoffs. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I guess there a lot of this is what the teams did last year. They're taking this into account. I don't know why the Texans additions and the injuries weren't factored in. It seems like that might not have been factored in at all in the equation. The Seahawks, they've lost a ton of talent. I mean, they still got Russell Wilson. They still got Pete Carroll. The Ravens, you know, with the great coach and Jim Harbaugh, or I don't know, that's debatable. You talk to people in Baltimore and there is some debate about that. But I mean, Harbaugh and Pete Carroll have a much better record, but talent wise, the Texans can compete in a big way. And I think you're just more talented than those teams. I'm just throwing this out there. It's, you know, it's an ESPN deal, but it just makes you, I don't know, Brian, I was just threw it out there because you only came up with about nine teams. So you think basically, you know, when push came to shove, you're making out a list. You're talking about the Texans being at least in the top third of the NFL, basically.
Yes, absolutely. I don't see any reason why we can't if Deshaun Watson remains healthy for the season.
Yeah, and that's always the if. And that should just be a given. That's just put that in a big black magic marker when you're talking about where your prediction is with the Texans. Obviously, you know, they could be really good if he's there and really bad if he's not. But we know that. Got a bizarre story of the day and a kind of cool story up next. But first, just a quick reminder to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, it's all in the show description of each podcast. You can find it right there. And if you're a fan of Locked On Texans, you can either email us a question or record a message. That's a great way to, you know, to get in touch with us because, hey, you can be on the show. It's pretty cool. Use that voice memo on your phone. It's a perfect way to do it. Email LockedOnTexans@mail.com. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. And we'll definitely use it on the show. All right, Brian, do I have a story for you? How about this one? A Philadelphia Eagles fan accused of punching a police horse and a mounted officer before the Eagles NFC Championship game is suing the team, Philadelphia, and state police. You might remember this guy. He claims he didn't strike the horse and he was beaten for no reason. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports the lawsuit by Andrew Tornetta filed Wednesday alleges assault and battery by the police and seeks damages in excess of $50,000. He says, and this guy's about 20 years old, he says it's a result of the beating, his false arrest, and demonization in the media. Because of all that, he suffered, quote, physical pain, discomfort, trauma, humiliation, embarrassment, emotional stress, and sleeplessness. Charges of resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and failure to disperse against Tornetta were dropped after he completed an accelerated misdemeanor program, 12 hours of community service. He paid $222 in court fees. Brian, I think the lesson here is just, you know, how about just not going out and getting drunk and doing stupid stuff in the street? I mean, I think there were some witnesses to some of what happened there. And when there's some video of that, if I remember correct.
Yeah, I believe there was, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's Philadelphia. He's an Eagles fan. I mean, this is the way they are. You know, they're having, you know, remember them putting Prisco on the telephone poles because they didn't want people climbing up the poles if they had won the Super Bowl? I mean, that's how bad it gets for them celebrating out there. But with that lawsuit, good luck. And all he's suing for is $50,000. It may take that much just to try the case if it even gets to the courts. So I don't know where he's going here, but I think it's a waste of money. I think he should have just been happy with paying that fine. He got off. He got, you know, the misdemeanor. He went to the program. He paid the $200 and, you know, it was wiped off his record. I think he should have just left it at that. But now he's trying to go after the big giant, the NFL, the Eagles. You know, they're about to come down on the hammer with them and say, hey, you're not getting a dime. You're not getting crap.
No, it's not the Eagles he's going after. He's going after Philadelphia, the city, the state police, that sort of stuff. That's who he's suing. The Eagles weren't involved in this. It's not their fault. Don't blame them. But I sure hope that lawyer that he's got is pro bono because, yeah, $50,000 is not a whole lot, especially when you with lawyers' fees and court stuff. I mean, all that stuff kind of starts to add up. Let's go from a bizarre story to a little bit cooler story, real good one with the Texans. You might have heard about Michael Brown. Now, let me remind you who this kid was. 17-year-old Lamar High School senior was offered a full ride to 20 schools, all 20 of them that he applied for, just little places, little, you know, starter schools like Northwestern, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. But Michael Brown chose to go to Stanford. And remember, we've told you about this. There are four Texans players who went to Stanford: Justin Reed, Brennan Scarlett, Johnson Batamosi, and Peter Kalambayi. And all four of those guys went over to see Michael Brown, and they talked to him a little bit in his house, got to know him a little bit, and they brought him some gifts for college. And because he's an athlete, I think this is legal. This isn't one of those things that the NCAA is going to have to look into, but they got him a TV for his dorm room, towels, Texan shirts. Of course, you got to give him some Texan shirts and some other items he can use when he moves to California in a couple of months. And Brown finishes his high school career next Saturday, and perfect place to do it at NRG Stadium, of all places, is where his graduation is going to be. He finishes with a 4.68 grade point average, an SAT score of 1540 out of 1600, and an ACT score of 34 out of 36, which I think, Brian, this sounds like a mirror image of your high school career, correct?
Very close to it. No, no, I'm kidding. I scored pretty well on the ACT and the ACT, not to his level. My goodness. Yeah, he's off the charts. I'm pretty sure if I would have put in, you know, the 100% max effort into it, it probably would have been close to that. But I think I gave about 90%, and he probably gave 120%. But there you go. But look at that. I'm just, you know, it's just great to see stories like this, you know, especially from, you know, the Texans going out there into the community. And this made this guy feel really good. He's going to remember this moment. Best of luck to Michael Brown.
Absolutely. Great story. The Stanford guys, they hang together. They're going to be a close group with the Texans for sure. Time to wrap things up for this one. Don't forget, Brian's got you covered on House of Houston, Astros, Rockets, everything you want to know about what's going on in Houston sports. It's a fan site affiliate. Go to houseofhouston.com, my Houston Sports Talk podcast. Easy to find on iTunes and most anywhere you listen to your podcast. We got some good stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks I'm looking at, so you're going to want to listen to that. Also, when you're done listening to today's show on the Locked On Texans show, rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you think or what you might suggest, and we're going to take it to heart. We're going to try to make this the best show that you listen to in all the world on the Houston Texans. That's all we got for this one, and I think that's all we're going to have for this week unless something major comes down the next couple of days. So look for us again on Sunday. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.